The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, November 4th, and we are in the thick of it post-trade deadline with some crazy news flying all around the NFL. By the way, you can watch this show, as with every single podcast show, on YouTube. And if you really like the podcast and you want to join us for live recaps, youtube.com/pick6 or on the YouTube app. Wherever, you know, on your smart TV or your phone, whatever it is, search for Pick Six Podcast or probably just Pick Six. You can join us for live recaps post game on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, and 1 p.m. on Tuesdays, a mock draft show with Ryan Wilson, and 1 p.m. on Thursdays, a live pick show with yours truly, Pete Prisco and RJ White. Joining me now to break down the latest news around the NFL, CBS Sports NFL Insider, Josina Anderson. Josina, what's up?
What's up, man? Lots going on in the NFL. Insane. With so many star players.
We're going to talk some Odell Beckham and some Deshaun Watson. Watson, of course, not traded. Odell Beckham appears to be headed out the dough in Cleveland. There's tons of other news going around, but let's focus in on OBJ, who... what's the latest you're hearing? Is he in fact on paid leave, administrative leave? The Browns don't want to cut him, didn't trade him before the deadline, but it appears to be persona non grata in Cleveland. Yes.
I don't know about that. Okay. I would say that, yes, he's still getting paid. So he's still cashing checks. So that's good. Lights are still on at the house.
OBJ will survive.
Presumably not, because I've been there. And so what's going on? I mean, he's on his second day of an excused absence away from practice per notification from the team. And as I reported this morning, you know, they continue to have talks with regards to his status. That's also involved the economics of what things would look like if he were to depart the team. But as I mentioned on my Twitter this morning, he is, per league sources and conversations, willing to and waiting to go back to the facility upon notification as well. So, but that doesn't preclude the fact that there are multiple teams sniffing around his lingering status with the Cleveland Browns and will be interested in adding him to their team if he becomes available.
So what do we think OBJ's preference would be? Does he want to play for the Browns? Does he want to play for another team? Do he and his dad want to open up a editing business where they crop all 22 together with REM songs on the background, which I'm sure his dad definitely did, you know, himself by hand. I mean, it seems totally plausible that, you know, a 50-year-old man can, you know, is cropping up video together and then putting REM on the background. Come on.
So I would say that Odell Beckham Jr. wants to have production and win.
Okay.
That's what he wants. And that can happen in a number of places. And I believe, just per what I said on Twitter, as far as his willingness and still openness to go back to the team, that he will remain professional about that return if the door is open from the Browns. He's not there because the Browns have said to stay home, not the other way around.
So, I mean, so in a perfect world, Odell Beckham can sort of would like to just go back to the Browns, be productive, or do you think he'd rather the Browns finally say, all right, enough is enough, cut him, and he goes and signs somewhere else?
Well, let's take away the conversation from what he would prefer, and let's open it up to this. I think that there is validity to the question of whether the conversation around what's going on as to whether it's been balanced or not. And what I mean by that is a lot of the focus is on OBJ and his excused absence. And I'll even pose this question back to you, Will. Prior to what happened approaching the deadline with the release of that or reposting of a video that was already on YouTube with regards to showing how much he's been open and LeBron putting that tweet up, none of which Odell did, what would you say were the distractions that Odell was giving or not up through that point?
Oh, no, I think I made this point on our podcast when we were talking about it on we were talking about it at some point over the past week. I don't, at this point, everything blends together, it feels like. But I definitely said, like, I've defended Odell Beckham, you know, in terms of his behavior relative to what we saw in New York, you know, where he's making out with kicking nets and doing all kinds of, you know, he and Josh Norman are going at it. I mean, what we've seen from him in Cleveland, despite a lack of production, despite injuries, despite the Browns not always winning, despite, you know, hiring and firing new coaches all over the place, he hasn't complained. It's been a kind of amazing to see. Like, externally, he has not been, he has not acted in a manner which we probably would have suspected given how he acted in New York, I think. So to answer your question, I think Odell's been pretty good. And even with this, he's not out here giving statements. He's not out here complaining. Really, the only thing is that his dad posted a video.
So now let's pause there. So then the next question I have is, what about what the video highlights? What about what the video highlights?
it highlights Baker Mayfield not throwing to Odell Beckham.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because literally that's what the video is talking about. So it's Bomani Jones even pointed, are we going to be talking about who posted the video or are we going to be talking about what's in the video? Because what the video is showing, right, is a problem. And, you know, it's almost like what Gisele Bündchen said, you know, can't throw and catch at the same time, right? So obviously what it's showing is instances in which Odell has been open, and that has been numerous times. And has not gotten the ball when he's been the primary target for the call. And so where does, what's the root of that?
I'll ask you that question. What do we think that Baker Mayfield dislikes Odell Beckham? Is he just not seeing the field correctly? Cause it seems to me like if I'm Baker Mayfield, I mean, it's really weird. The Browns offense is worse with Odell Beckham on the field. And yet Baker Mayfield's not exactly targeting Odell Beckham.
We can be very specific about that. Odell Beckham Jr., I believe, has been targeted 173 times since he's been with the Browns this season. And yes, as a matter of fact, he's run 173 routes, and he has been targeted on 34 of those routes. That's 19%. Jarvis Landry, by comparison, has been targeted on 30% of his routes. And yes, Odell has had some drops. I believe through, I think it was a Chargers game, he had just one. And then it was another one after that. And then the game in which he came back where he had the grade 3 AC sprain is where he had a few, obviously. But, you know, the flip side of that part is that he was thugging it through the injury. So I'm just kind of, you know, pointing that out as well. Those are just stats, not, you know, what I'm impugning one way or the other. That's right. Those are the stats. And so, you know, the fact that he goes through a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and has one target. I just want to make sure I'm very clear on that number. One target.
Not nine times, one target.
One target. What I'm trying to say is, and it's not even just me, Will, I am reflecting the conversations that I hear Where, why is the conversation not on what the video is illuminating? Forget about who tweeted it, because if you also want to be, you know, kind of real about the conversation, let's really try to dig down as far as, and you tell me, because I don't, you know, what is the real reason for Odell being excused? What has been done by him?
I mean, unless they're just excusing him because his dad uses too many hashtags, he hasn't done anything that we know of outside of,
Do you understand what I'm getting at? Because what has been done? Because, you know, the conversation about whether, so having discussions about being traded, not traded, or what have you. I mean, you know, the team has done its due diligence. I think it's proper to assess whether it's working or not. I don't think that, you know, impugns anybody by just, you know, bringing that up, whether it's his side or even the Brown side. So, you know, if you move off of that, what's been done? And then here's a better question. Is Odell the only player on the Browns to have family members speaking out? I'm just saying. I mean, right. I'm trying not to get specific, but I think we know, you know, someone else has had family members speak up too.
Right. Who else has family members speak up?
I mean, you know, the quarterback on the team has family members that say things on social media as well.
Oh, Baker does? Baker's. I need to be cool.
I mean, per my understanding, it's not like I follow these people, you know what I'm saying? But I see things on social media. The point, and I'm not even trying to lay this at the feet of Baker so much, because I've had multiple conversations on my own podcasts and shows in which I'm usually the one talking about how I, you know, the impact that Phil Baker has had on the team when they weren't winning any games. So, but with respect to this conversation, and it is being objective to point out that I don't think the conversation has been balanced with to him being excused. And that is objective.
I do think that it's like, all right, Baker's dad posted something. Odell Beckham's dad posted something. Mm-hmm. We've got to be done with OBJ. Whereas, you know, if like, Odell Beckham didn't walk in facility and like start yelling and stomping his feet and demanding more targets and complaining about Baker. So unless, you know, although it does sound like, I think maybe there are some Browns players who maybe, like, I would be curious to know what percentage of the Browns locker room is like.
But let me tell you a little bit. Doesn't have to complain. The video is the video. They all review film after every game and see the film. In addition to that, there are coaches on the team, personnel, players, whomever, who can all understand and see this same video.
Obviously, it was previously posted on YouTube, as you noted, and I hadn't realized that Odell Beckham's dad really he did the thing where you can
repost.
Yeah, no, he just recorded his screen, because you see at the beginning of the video, it's his home screen or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's his lock screen, and he swipes up and then turns it sideways. Mm-hmm. It's actually from somebody named J Daddy Productions.
He's not back there splicing and putting things together. I keep saying that on every hit that I go to. I was like, this video already existed. It's been floating around. Trust me, I've seen it before he posted. I had already seen it 30 times. It's been out there, so it's not a new video. That's the funny part about it. Or not so funny part about it. But, you know, again, let's just think about this from a strategic standpoint. So the NFL trade deadline is approaching. There are teams that have, you know, shown interest, and a trade doesn't get done. And up to the trade deadline, this video comes out from his dad, LeBron James tweets. Then the trade is not executed. After the trade deadline passes, then there is this discipline or, you know, excusing, in which that in and of itself would have to be understood, would exacerbate the situation, right? So now we're at the point where he's, you know, being paid to stay home. And so now you're having discussions as to, you know, what it would look like to depart as far as the economics of it. And you're in a situation as to whether you're going to let the player go or bring him back under the circumstances of having told the player to stay home. the coach having said to other players that he was no longer on the team and that getting out, you know what I'm saying? And then the Baker saying what he said in the press conferences, including, you know, there's always room for improvement on the conversation, but I don't remember the verbatim, but I know the innuendo was, I'm willing to talk, what have you. But then the flip side of that is, but just saying, why is, if you go back again to what the video is showing, who's supposed to be going to who?
Baker should be throwing to Odell.
I'm just asking. You know what I mean? I'm just throwing these pregnant questions out here. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, because the problem is, why is the ball not going there, and who needs to answer that? Is it this hands off? Well, I'm available. I'm free. Communication could be improved, or is that really a demonstration of, the onus that's not being taken, or illumination of leadership that is occurring or not occurring?
Right. So how does this play out with, like, so Jarvis Landry, who Baker said that he'd had a conversation with? Jarvis and OBJ are longtime friends. I mean, obviously they played college ball together, now on the same team, have known each other for a really, really long time. Do we think that, these receivers trust Baker Mayfield? Are they concerned that OBJ is, like, with OBJ gone, are they sort of like, with any divorce or any separation, there's going to be natural side taking. I guess I'm just wondering, like, how do we think the Browns roster and locker room shakes out in terms of siding with Baker or siding with Odell?
Good question. I would say that everyone is going to do their best to be professional. At the same time, everybody walks in the door at any place, wherever they go, with inherent biases, right? And so it's really just up to all players involved to, check that at the door and be professional and do, what they're paid to do. How it plays out on the field, on the football field during the games, is another story. This is a really, really big game for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday.
Big game.
Big game. I mean, the pressure is on Baker, the door is open, Baker, the door is open, Mayfield, Baker, what I'm saying?
Yeah. You fall to 4-5 and, you're starting to feel it. I mean,
And not only that, but it's not just the result of the game, but how the game plays out to that result. People are going to be watching. Well, one, we'll see if Odell is back. Will he play? How is Baker playing? How are the balls connecting? All these other things, that are occurring. And so I feel like it's a tough spot for Jarvis to be in. Obviously, his friend and teammate is going through, something that's not what they prefer. And, the source of some of that consternation is also his teammate and the person that throws him the ball, by the way, targeted him, Jarvis, 10 times in that same game. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting, complex situation, and we'll see how it gets resolved. But very curious for the, front office to issue the, you're excused, and then now calls have to take place as to whether you're going to come back and what it's so much. And then I hear that, certain calls haven't been made by certain coaches, and it's just a mess. It really is a mess.
For sure. Let me ask you this. Let's say that Odell is, for whatever reason, let go by the Browns. They're going to bring him back. They're going to keep him on the active. It would be crazy to keep him on the active roster and use up a roster spot a la the Texans. We'll talk about them in a second. But let's say hypothetically he is let go. Are there any teams that you think would make sense for OBJ, or that would pounce all over OBJ if he became a free agent?
Yes.
Oh, all of them? 31 teams?
You said, are there any teams? I said, yes, there are teams.
Do any teams come to mind that you think would be very interested? yes, you can still operate. Yes, actually, there.
Yes, I think Green Bay could potentially be. I think Raiders could potentially be. I think Seattle potentially could be. I think New Orleans could potentially be. I think
New Orleans was, as we talked about last week, or I think we talked about, New Orleans was certainly maybe not last week. New Orleans at some point was interested in Odell Beckham potentially. So they, and with Michael Thomas now out for the season, that would
which complicated things trying to assess what Michael Thomas's situation was at the same time that the trade deadline is ticking down. So that certainly complicated things. And the Kansas City Chiefs. So there are a number of teams that I'm pretty sure, more than pretty sure, that if he is available, we'll come and scoop him up.
Okay. All right. I dig it. New Orleans, Green Bay, and the other team that I think
we said
Raiders make a lot of
Green
sense.
Bay, and, Kansas City,
yeah.
New Orleans, the Seahawks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Certainly the Packers always mentioned Seahawks could make sense.
Oh, and by the way, Will, we did talk about Von Miller.
You called it. You nailed it.
And my own bad that I didn't follow up on my own thing, because after I saw him get hurt after we spoke, you see what I'm saying?
Assumed he couldn't be traded.
I just let it go. I mentally let it go.
Yeah.
And then I remember I reached out to Vaughn and I seen that the number was different. So then I kind of forgot about it. And then this kind of happens to insiders too. Is when a story breaks, you're like, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should. Yeah. So then I reach out to somebody else to get his number. Get it like within 2 seconds. I call him and Vaughn picks up. He's like, hey, Joe. And I'm like, how you know this is Joe? Because obviously I'm calling him on another number. Yeah. He's like, I know that voice for 10 years. I know it's you. And I'm like, oh my God, I could have called you yesterday. I had this, you know, so I was just like,
he would have had the scoop. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I was mad at my own darn self and keep talking. I'm just plugging my computer so it doesn't die on you.
No, you're fine. Yeah. So Von Miller obviously traded as Josina predicted last week. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll talk about the Watson situation.
Okay.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for real.
So Deshaun Watson not traded, as we sort of, we kind of nailed it last week when we were talking about Deshaun Watson as well, because we suggested, we suggested that he would not be traded. That it was sort of like leaning that way. And ultimately the Texans decided not to deal him. Was this more about Miami? Was this more about Houston? Who sort of the one that pulled the reins back here and resulted in Watson not leaving the Texans?
Well, I, definitely had some, strong moments where I was saying that this was likely that he was not going to get traded. And that was just listening to the tones of the sources that I was speaking to, knowing that adamantly the Houston Texans felt no pressure to have to deal Deshaun Watson by the trade deadline, knowing that the Dolphins were looking for more clarity and kept repeating even on your podcast that the only route to getting that was the settlements, but the settlements had the non-disclosure agreement, a contingency on it that Deshaun did not want to do. And then also with the Texans needing for whatever prospective team to meet their compensation level, and that was not happening. So every time, just think about how many times that we were hearing over the last 4 weeks leading into the NFL trade deadline, talks are heating up. It's, And, talks can only heat up until, actually one, that you actually have the compensation requested on the table. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, you
understand what I'm saying? The level was set and it wasn't met. And
I was trying to think of some poorly formed analogy or metaphor for a pot of boiling water, where it's like, you know, you can heat up a pot of water as much as you want, but unless like, or you can heat, I don't know, it was gonna be a terrible metaphor. I'll just skip it. But the point being is that like it never boiled over, and ultimately the Texans needed in compensation. This is my take on it, at least, is what the Texans needed in compensation to trade away Deshaun Watson was too much for the Dolphins to overcome without getting some sort of assurances, either from Deshaun Watson in the form of a settlement or from the Texans in terms of pick protection, which is the phrase that you hear all the time in the NBA, which NBA teams use all the time, like a lottery protected pick. What Stephen Ross wanted to do was, in the event that Deshaun missed games or couldn't play, the Dolphins would be giving away really good picks. And he didn't want his team to be terrible to have Deshaun Watson on the roster and to have to give away good picks. So he's looking for pick protection. And the Texans were not feeling said pick protection, probably because in the last few years, they've given away a bunch of picks that ended up being really high and they're still feeling burnt by it. It happened twice, I believe, but once with Brock Osweiler and then again with the Laramie Tubbs. Yeah.
And Josh Rosen.
Oh, yes, right. That's right. Yeah, for sure.
No, you're absolutely right. And the Texans also did not want to have contingencies set upon, you know, the back half of that compensation package. And what I mean is like attaching playing time percentages or things like that, like wanting it clean. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, it didn't get done by. But the reality of the matter is that the middle of March is only less than 5 months away, pretty much about 5 months away. That's really not that long of a time. I know it's a big deal for those of us who do not have two commas in our salaries, but for Cal McNair, who has probably, you know, lotto tickets in his corners of his couches, it's snuff change.
Yeah, for sure. So we think ultimately that we'll probably see him traded this offseason, right?
We will see him traded this offseason.
And as we mentioned last week, this probably benefits Deshaun Watson in the long haul, honestly, not being traded, because I mean, would you agree with that in the sense that he has more options where he could go if he wants to open up those options, and he'll be able to potentially find a settlement of these cases over the next several months. The legal process can play itself out, and he'll probably know what his situation legally and with the NFL will be by the time the offseason comes around. One would think
there would be more clarity. One would think this, you know, waiting could also potentially wear down those claimants against him, you know, in terms of whatever it is that they're asking now, and including for non-disclosure agreements to be signed, or, you know, the amount of money that's being, you know, attached to those settlements. Or they could also dig in too. But the other thing from a PR perspective is that the public will likely also be more tired of the, you know, topic, you know, 5 months from now, unless there's new details that, you know, reinvigorate it, so to speak, in the public atmosphere. But 2 weeks ago, we weren't talking about Jameis Winston being down. You never know what injuries can happen in the NFL or attrition that will create said demand.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jameis Winston goes down and I'm talking about Philip Rivers coming out of retirement, right? I mean, like, it's anything can happen when quarterbacks start getting hurt, especially with teams who are in the playoff mix, because, you know, Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill, maybe Sean Payton thinks he can get it done. He's done it before with Teddy B, with Jameis Winston working as backups when Drew Brees got hurt. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to have a quarterback if you want to win a title. And the injuries that happen to quarterbacks or the natural attrition, the natural. All right, let me ask you this. Anyway, the point being is that it drives the market up. Do you think that the Texans will find it problematic or difficult to deal Watson at all this offseason if Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and more quarterbacks are on the market? Or do you think that's not as big a deal for Houston in the specific trade here?
Well, I think you're really good at looking things up quickly. So how old is Russell Wilson?
He is 35, I think. Maybe 33, I'll tell you.
Okay. And then how old is Aaron Rodgers?
He's 32. He'll be 30. He'll be 33 this month in November. Aaron Rodgers is 400 years old. Aaron Rodgers is 37. We'll turn 38 in December.
And Deshaun Watson is?
I see what you're getting at here. Deshaun Watson, 42, of course, as everyone knows. He is 26.
So if these legal situations are more cleared up, I don't really think that there is a question there.
Okay. All right, no, fair enough.
From the standpoint of how much ROI you can get, you know, return on investment from who you're picking from relative to their age. And everyone, you know, thinks that Deshaun is an elite quarterback, certainly among the top five, top set, wherever you want to put him, relative to his age and projected longevity in the NFL beyond this. So if Aaron is available, but how, the question is, how long do you have Aaron? You know, if Russell is available, how long do you have Russell compared to, even if Deshaun gets hurt, you still have all those many years after that.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. You get Deshaun and you're locking him down. Yeah. You got a franchise quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years minimum.
Minimum.
Yeah. Who, by the way, won't have played a single snap this season, which, you know, he'll age a year because that's how, you know, time works. But he, you know, he hasn't taken any hits like he normally would have behind him. What would have been a, you know, questionable Texans offensive line, and certainly, you know, with no defense, he would have been scrambling around trying to come back all the time. He would have gotten beat up pretty bad this year if he played. So that's a win for him too.
And but although, you know, it's really incumbent upon Watson and all these players to, you know, do their best with whoever their trainer is or however they go about it in the offseason to clearly keep themselves in football shape. You know, there's a lot of players who have asked for less practices, especially with the, you know, ratification of the new CBA. But it has also resulted in a lot of soft tissue injuries in the NFL. You know, they ask for less playing time, but they, you know, they don't have the body callus, so to speak, you know, and going through the motions as much. So hopefully, yes, on one hand, he'll have more time because he's younger, but he also needs to be using this time to make sure that when he comes back, he doesn't snap in two either. You know what I mean?
Right, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think Deshaun will probably do a pretty good job of staying in shape. And
football shape, you know, not just, you know, like Fonda routines, you know, at home, you know, right, what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, keeping the 5 o'clock shadow trim. I'm talking about like being able to take a hit from Von Miller. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. 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 No, I think anybody who trades for him will be expecting that Deshaun Watson shows up in perfectly good football shape. All right. The trade deadline came and went. No action, of course, but we did. We got. It was amazing that no trade deadline, and we still get all this news that comes out. Odell, Deshaun, you know, all kinds of stuff. Von Miller got traded. But,
yeah. Von Miller got traded. Adrian Peterson, you know,
Adrian Peterson
on the team that's going to be facing that team, you know, in prime time this Sunday as well. And then,
oh, you're right, AP against Von. I didn't think about that.
Yes, yes. I mean, right now he's on the practice squad. I mean, the anticipation is that he'll be elevated. Obviously, they need a running back. I don't want to keep him on a practice squad. Does right. for them losing Derrick Henry, trying to make up for 900 plus rushing yards. But yes, Adrian Peterson's new team, the Titans, set to face the Rams Sunday Night Football with Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, and now Von Miller. So that'll be very interesting. But
what kind of workload do we think AP gets from the Titans out of the gate? Is it?
I think it's like a feel and go. If he looks like he, you know, looks from the outside always, then it should be, you know, because they need him, obviously, to take the pressure off of Ryan Tannehill. Now, I remember when Adrian Peterson was set to join the Washington football team, who, by the way, initially did not want him, and they had to be convinced to bring right. him in for a workout because they were looking at Orleans Darkwa and Jamal Charles before. And then they came to Adrian Peterson, who only went after that went on to have 1,000-plus yards for them and started both years after they had to be convinced to bring him in. And now he's in the same position with the Tennessee Titans. And so, by the way, Adrian Peterson owns a gym in Houston. And, you know,
Adrian Peterson, the strongest handshake. And I think this is like widely known, but I don't know if people say it enough. Like, he will literally, like, if you shake his hand, my hand hurt for like 20 minutes after shaking his hand. And like, I was worried that he had like cratered like some like bones on the side of my hand. And I mean, I got a decent grip and a pretty good handshake, and it was just a engulfing and just a squeeze, and it's just
Yes. Yes. So, but good thing we're not relying on you to throw any footballs this Sunday.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. Don't shake Ryan Tannehill's hand, buddy.
So don't throw your microphone hand. Square. You know what I'm trying to say. Exactly. Don't squeeze your microphone. Okay, moving on. But so what I was trying to say is, yeah, so you have those two. But what I also wanted to point out today is a couple things. One, today is the November 4th deadline that the two congressmen, Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney and Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy set forth in that letter to Roger Goodell demanding documents and questions be answered in regards to the NFL's investigation around the Washington football team and the collection of the 650,000 emails that came about that. I did interview the congressman last night on my podcast, and he did tell me that as of last night, the NFL had not complied and did reiterate that they do have subpoena power and testimonial power as far as, you know, actually doing live testimony to compel that to make, you know, the NFL have to respond. So this will be very interesting. Today is the deadline to see whether that happens or not in any form, especially when Roger Goodell just had the owners meeting and, you know, said that they have done as much as they can do as far as transparency with regards to just having oral remarks as opposed to any written documentation as it did in other investigations, just not in this one.
Yeah, it'd be very fascinating to see because everybody wants to read those emails, and the only way we get to read them is either going to be a massive leak.
Emails,
playoffs.
And Will, you have to say something really quickly. You know, I just, whether you do, I do, I just want to continue to express my shock and condolences to the woman's family who had Tina. It's on Twitter. I'm going to find it really quickly.
The family of the young lady who was killed in the Henry Ruggs accident.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's an awful, awful situation.
Yes, I am looking for the tweet on Adam. Here it is. Her name is Tina O. Tinter, she and the dog actually lost their lives in that crash. And obviously Henry Ruggs' girlfriend, who continues to be in serious condition after we found out that Henry Ruggs was going 156 miles per hour. And according to authorities and having a blood level twice the legal limit. So
0.161 blood alcohol content and doing 156 miles an hour is almost it's a lethal combination. So like there's just no... there's no other outcome than having someone that intoxicated.
Yes, when you have the service provided to take the Ubers at any time that you want to. And it's just, what is he like? He's 22. And I remember interviewing him when he was right after the combine, very quiet, quaint dude, you know, not overly showy. And for this to be the result, I believe that at least on the charge of the DUI with the death resulting that in Las Vegas, it's from 2 to 20 years. And that doesn't pertain to,
no probation is allowed on a DUI when a death results. They actually just changed it last year. You used to be able to charge somebody with second degree murder if they were with the DUI death thing, and now they've changed that, so it's only it's only jail time. But I mean, it seems like if those facts that the authorities have put forward are accurate, that he had a 0.161 BAC and was doing 156 miles an hour and slammed into another car at 127 miles an hour,
way in which the lady died, the gruesomeness of that too is going to be a component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though Ruggs has never been in any real trouble that I think anyone's aware of, that's a mitigate, you know, that's a, that helps, right? That mitigates the punishment, but it's hard to fathom a situation where he isn't, going to jail for a pretty long time. And that's just awful circumstances. You hate to close out on that way, but I mean, it's one of the pieces of news. It's the circular around the league. Josina, always fun. Always a pleasure. Excellent stuff. Keep killing it on HQ. Make sure and watch Josina for the latest updates. There will be plenty of news. This Odell Beckham thing ain't going away. Deshaun Watson, we might be done with that for like 3 months.
Well, you didn't even talk about the Packers and the COVID, so that too.
Oh, my God. Aaron Rodgers, all immunized Aaron Rodgers. It's insane. Crazy. 24, 48, 72 hours in the NFL. Thanks for breaking it down with us, Josina.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate you. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.